back when I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell. And up the stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. How I'd love, to dance with my father again. Ooh. When I and my mother would disagree, to get my way I would run from her to him. He'd make me laugh just to comfort me, yeah, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, he left a dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could steal one final glance, one final step, one final dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. 'Cause I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Sometimes I'd listen outside her door, and I'd hear how my mother cried for him. I pray for her even more than me. I pray for her even more than me. I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send back the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice in it. And just listening to that song, my spirit was just so moved because we woke up this morning. That gives us a chance to dance with our Father, our Abba Father. That gives us a chance to have a new beginning, to start all over, to just know that He is here. He's never left us nor forsaken us. So we have that opportunity today, right now, this second, to be in the presence of God, whether you're dancing with Him, whether you're singing to Him, whether you're just praising His holy name. You have that opportunity to do those things, no matter what happened in the past. Right now, let's run real forward to today, this morning. Right now, you have the opportunity to be in the Lord's presence. We have the opportunity, and that is so beautiful. If you really sit and allow the words to that song to just listen to what it's saying, and you put it into your spiritual, you have a spiritual mindset of it. It's beautiful. It is just so beautiful. And I just thought that I would bring that up because, just like I said, it just touched my spirit. It touched my soul. It gives me, let me know, Nita, whatever has happened, no, whatever has gone on, you have the opportunity to walk with me, talk with me, dance if that's what you want to do, sing with me. You have that opportunity right now because I'm here. I'm here. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I just need you to activate some things. I just need you to get some things together because I'm right here through the good, through the bad, through the ugly. I'm right here. I'm right here. Good morning again. Good morning again. Good morning to our international partners. Good morning to America. Good morning to ADM. Good morning to my sister in North Carolina. We just love you. We love you. We love you. And if you were online yesterday, I know you enjoyed the Father's Day message. It was just such a beautiful thing to acknowledge the fathers because they do not get acknowledgement like the mothers do. We even know when the kids, when something happening with the kids, or when we were kids and something happened, we say, Mama! We don't say Daddy, but we have to give it up to our fathers because our fathers are the forerunners. Our fathers are the ones that take the sacrifices. Our fathers are the ones that take the blows. They're the ones that stand right there for us on that front line. They stand on that front line before we go into anything. So we want to make sure that we give them acknowledgement. So we're going, even though it's a day after, my husband say Father's Day is every day, so we're going to say happy belated Father's Day, and we're going to say happy Father's Day today, and we want to tell our Father, God, happy Father's Day. So let's go into prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning, Lord, just thanking you, Lord, that you are our Father, Father God, that you are the head of our lives, that you are the focal point, Father God, and that you, Father, would never leave us nor forsake us, Father God, that you, Father, would never leave us hungry, Father God, that you, Father, would never leave us naked, Father God, that you, Father, are the one, Lord Jesus, that left us with the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, Father God. That you, Father, are the Father that allowed his only begotten Son to die on the cross just to save a sinner like me, like you, like everybody that's on this line, Father God. You, Father, that wonderfully made us, Father God. You, Father, that would not have a problem, Father, with correcting us, Father God. You, Father, that heals us when we trust and believe, Father God, that you are the healer, Father. You, Father, the way maker, Father God. You, Father, our provider, Father God. You, Father, our everything, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you on today, Father God. We are pleased and honored, Father God, to say Abba. We are honored, Father God, to say Abba, Father God. That endearment, Father God. That endearment that comes with saying Abba, Father God. That sincerity, Father God. That compassion, Father God. And we just thank you on this morning, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the head of our life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for carrying us through the waters, Father God. Not allowing us to sidestep anything, but to walk through the different things that has been placed in our path, knowing, Father God, that you're on the other side. And how do I know, Lord? Because you walk with me, Father God. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for just raising us up this morning, Father God, but not just raising us up in the spirit, physical, Father God, but raising us up in the spiritual as well, Father God, but taking taken our blinders off of us, Father God, and recognizing who you are, Father God, and whose we are, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Lord, for your grace, Father God. Lord, we thank you for being a forgiving God on this morning, Father God, because what we did yesterday, Father God, if we confessed and repented and asked for forgiveness, Father God, it's moved away, it's wiped away, Father God. We have a new slate, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for each and every time you give us a new slate, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the knowing of who you are, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the safety, Lord Jesus. We thank you for entrusting us enough, Lord Jesus, to allow us to build a personal, but not just personal, Father God, an intimate relationship, Lord, meaning that we can put everything at your feet, Father God. We can talk about the bad, the ugly, although you know, Father God, you're able to hear the voice that you gave us, Father God, where our voice is able, Father God, to penetrate into heaven, Father God, so you can sit and while you're sitting on your throne, Lord Jesus, hear what we say to you, Father God. And then if we quiet enough, Father God, you are able to give us the answer back, Lord Jesus. You're able to give us, put somebody in our path, Father God, to lead us, Lord Jesus, down the right path, Father God. And we just thank you for that, Father God. We thank you for your rod of correction, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, every time we try to go out of your inner circle, Father God, your inner circle, Lord Jesus, that you have a way of pushing us back in, Father. And some of us, Lord Jesus, we go out too far, Father God, but that doesn't mean, Lord Jesus, that you don't love us, Father God. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your undying love, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your commitment, Father God. We thank you for your dedication, Father. We thank you for your loyalty, Father God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're forever with us, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us the opportunity, Lord, to invite you in, Lord Jesus, to abide with us, Father God, which gives us the opportunity, Lord Jesus, to know you for ourselves, Father God. So with that being said, Lord Jesus, we just give you all the honor. We give you all the glory, Father God. We just magnify your name, Father God. We exalt thee, Lord Jesus, and give you the highest praise of hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Father God. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for being who you are, Father God, a wonderful God, a marvelous God, a miraculous God. And we thank you on today, Father God. And we open our arms, Father, just as wide as yours is open, Father God. And we grab you and we bring you close and nearer to thee, Father God. And we accept you, Lord, as our Lord and Savior, Father God, so we may have eternal life. We thank you, Father God. We just adore you, Father God. And we're just going to keep, Father God, honoring you on this day and forever day, every day from here on after, Father God, because we realize, Father God, that you are our Abba, Father God. We realize, Father God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Yesterday in the, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Father God. We just thank you on this morning, this beautiful, magnificent Monday morning, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. On yesterday, during the broadcast, Bishop Davis was preaching. God was just pouring into my spirit, just downloading some things. And one of the key words that kept sticking out to me yesterday was restoration. And with that, and when we went into Bible study and just talking and seeking ye first the kingdom of God, that was a word that God gave to both me and my sister Monica. And that is something that we, that the Holy Spirit will be speaking on today. And I just pray that God allows us to decrease and the Holy Spirit to increase. But when we sit and we talk about restoration, a lot of people, restoration, they look for material things. They look at, you know, what am I going to get on a material side. But when I sit and I look for restoration, and that's how exactly how I used to be until I decided to walk with Christ, genuinely walk with Christ, stop faking, stop sitting in today being a Christian and tomorrow being a heathen. You know, once I decided to do that, I started seeing things differently. The things that I used to, the materialistic things I used to look for, no longer became a big thing to me. Now, don't get me wrong. I want nice things. I want some of the things that has been taken away from me. I want them restored because I am a woman that likes nice things because that's how I was born and raised, with nice things. But I realized in order for God to restore me, I had to go through some things. I had to learn obedience was better than sacrifice. I had to learn that humbleness brings, humility brings on humbleness. I had to understand that I needed to forgive some people. First of all, forgive myself and get my act together, get my house together, meaning me. I needed to get myself together. And that's where we're at today. But for the most part, most people that sit and they go through something, they are faithful to whatever their cause is. If you're a drug dealer, you're going to be faithful to selling drugs. If you're a prostitute, you're going to sell in your body. If you are a drug addict, you're going to be faithful and loyal to that because you like the benefits that comes with that. So you're going to be dedicated, you're going to be loyal, and you're going to be committed to what you're doing. You're going to sit and go at it full-heartedly. And with that being said, I want to bring up Saul, who eventually was converted over to Paul. And Saul was a man that, Saul was spirit, was born spiritually dead. Saul was in Saul's restoration. Saul received a physical and a spiritual restoration. Saul was very committed and dedicated to what he was taught in life coming up, and that was to persecute the Christians based off of his beliefs, based off of what was going on in the land. Saul was committed to doing that, and he took no was not an answer. He sat day in and day out to find types of things that he can do to move forth and what he needed to do and whatnot. But as I stated, Saul was physically and spiritually, me reading my interpretation of the Bible, he was spiritually and physically blind. He was physically and spiritually blind, and he was spiritually dead. So he was blinded in the physical, and he was also blinded in the spiritual. But he was also spiritually dead, and that's because he did not believe in Christ. He did not believe that Christ was who they say he was. He did not believe. He felt the need to go out and persecute Christians for trusting and believing and calling on the name of Jesus, for going out in the streets and evangelizing, telling people about this man, Jesus Christ, who was coming to change the world, the Son of God. Saul had a problem with that. But one day as he was walking on the road of Damascus, we started from Acts verse 3. He said, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, and that was the mission where he had then gotten found out some information and had to get permission to go through with his assignment, and that was to bring Christians back as, you know, as slaves. And he said, and it says, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again." So Saul was blinded, and the thing I want to point out, when Jesus spoke to Saul, people could hear the message, but Saul heard what was going on, and the people heard what was going on, his companions, but they did not understand. They did not understand, and I want to bring this point out. One reason that Jesus chose Saul was because Saul was faithful, dedicated, committed, and loyal to his cause. Faithful, dedicated, and loyal to his cause. He believed in what he was doing. He believed in what he was doing. But when he heard, when Jesus started talking to him, he realized too that there was a Jesus. He realized that the things that he had been doing in the past and what Stephen and all of those that he was persecuting, what they were saying was real. He instantly knew it. It was a suddenly thing. He instantly knew it. And how do I know he instantly knew it? Because in the scripture it says he is praying to me. He is praying to me. He went from persecuting, not acknowledging Jesus, but that road when he was sitting there blinded, the Bible says he was praying to me. So he knew instantly that there was a Jesus. He knew instantly, whether it says it in the scripture or not, he knew that the things that he had done was not correct, because why? He was praying to Jesus. It says that he was praying to me. And then Jesus told him that I showed him a vision of you, Ananias, coming to him. But see, one thing about Ananias, he was a prophet. And you know that prophets recognize, they have the vision, they have the insight, not only the insight, the hindsight, to recognize and to see things and whatever. And although Jesus told Saul and told Ananias to go to him, Ananias had some reservation, because Saul was terrible. Saul terrified. He was just a horrible person in the eyesight of the Christian. But I say all that to sit and say to you today that we can sit and we can do different things, and we can sit and we can have a past. And in that past, people can be standoffish from you because of the turn, the transformation that you, the conversion that you make. You may be sitting in and praying cabal, but when you sit and you make a conscious decision that I'm going to pray and realize that Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life, people are going to be standoffish. People are going to sit and they're going to constantly try to bring your past back up to you. Remember when you used to do this? They get in the corner. Remember when she did this? Remember when she did that? But see, that's when you, as a person, you, I, all of us, as a person, have to remember that it does not matter what man says. It does not matter what the deacon, it doesn't matter what the bishop, it doesn't matter. It depends, or it matters on what Jesus said to you during your spiritually blinded time. Jesus said, in 3 days, you need to go up and lay hands on him. You need to go and touch him. And in 3 days, he won't be blinded. But see, in those 3 days, Saul had a lot that he needed to think about. He had a lot to realize. Okay, I'm in this place right now. I've done this. And I don't even know if I'm going to be able to see again. I don't know if I'll be able to see again. But Jesus had already told Ananias what the plan was going to be. But Ananias didn't want to go and do that. Even when Paul got his eyesight and he went into the places to try to preach and teach the word of God, the believers were still standoffish from him because that's just how terrifying that he was. And in today's society, people would sit and they would look and they will think about the things that you did in the past, not really realizing that you was blind, but now you can see. You was blinded in your fear. You was blinded physically, and you was blinded spiritually because of the things that you used to do, because of the lack of, because you living in darkness. But when God took the blinders off, because you asked for him to take those blinders off, you prayed to him to take those blinders off, because he said, and he realized, he sits and he looked at your heart and see that you were dedicated to selling drugs, that you were committed to prostituting, that you was loyal to your addiction. God said and said, you know what? This is a person that I can use, because once I sit and I turn them around, once I turn them around, they will be of good usage to me. They will sit and do what I say, what I tell them to do. They will sit, and it will not matter what the naysayers say, what the haters say, what the other bishops say, what the other apostles say. When I get up on the pulpit and I bring the word of God, God knows that my word is going to be truth. God knows that my word is going to come out through his Holy Spirit. And how does he know that? Because you have had your encounter with Jesus on your road of Damascus. You once was blind, but now you see. And see, where Paul's restoration came from, Paul's restoration, Paul said that he went through, he had a thorn in his side for the majority of his time when he wrote these books in the Bible. Paul was in a dungeon, a jail cell. But Paul got joy. He got joy. How did he receive that joy? How was he happy? How was he okay and settled and at peace for what he was doing? Because he realized Jesus spoke to him. He realized that although I was this person, Jesus spoke to me. I heard the voice of Jesus. I knew to pray. And in my prayer time, my relationship continued to build with him. My relationship got bigger. My thoughts changed. My walk changed. My talk changed. Even his name changed from Saul to Paul. And it was only because of the relationship and because of the dedication and because of the faithfulness. And Paul's restoration was not here on earth. Paul had been put in his mind that I'm going to serve God till I die. I'm going to serve. I am going to reap the benefits in the kingdom. I may not reap the benefits here, but God has already let me know what I have waiting ahead of me. God has already let me know that I may sit and go through different things down here, But this is what I have for you, my son. This is what I have for you, my daughter. All I need you to do is to trust me, to allow me to take the blinders off of you. And I say the word allow because we have free will. We have a choice to do that. We have a choice. Paul was put in a position where it just hit him suddenly, but at the same token, he could have sat there and said, Lord, I'm blind, just take me. But see, God loved him so much that God wouldn't allow him to leave on this earth. He didn't go to kill him. He needed Paul. He needed Paul to be in his army. He knew that Paul would sit and go down and tell the truth and say what needed to be said. He would sit and bring correction to the people in the different churches that were sitting and just making a shameful, just making a thing, making an ugly scene about the churches. And we have that today. But we thank God that we have some Pauls. We still got some Pauls. I'm here to tell you all. We have some Pauls that's dedicated to the cause. We have some Pauls that was sin and has made Jesus their life. We have some Pauls that won't put nothing else in front of God. Not their job, not their spouse, not their children, not nobody. It's between them and God. And they realize by them seeking him, everything else is going to come. Everything else is going to be glorious. But you're going to go, you are going to go through some things. You're going to go through some things. But the beauty of it is God spiritually woke Paul up. God spiritually allowed him to see exactly who he was and where he could be in the kingdom. God is touching somebody, not just somebody. People, God is touching you. God is trying to take those blinders off of you so you can see that what you have coming for you in the spiritual. You can see that you don't have to continue to live in the same lifestyle. You don't have to continue to just say, okay, well, I'm just getting by. God wants you to live plentiful and bountiful. God wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be successful. But you have to allow God to take them blinders, take them blinders, wake you up out of your blind state right now. And God is doing that in this day and time. Sister, I turn it over to you.
Good morning, everyone. Initially, I have to start out by letting everyone know that I was supposed to bring you to Joel 2 and 18 and talk about the promises of restoration that God promised Israel, which is us. But when I got to the point where my sister Nita prayed us in, God shifted gears on me, y'all. So I have to be obedient because when he shifted gears on me, he had me bawling like a baby. I had to mute the phone so that you guys would be able to hear her prayer because what God was taking me through, he was taking me through for this message. He was taking me through the fact that when they spoke on Father's Day and how everybody's mother is probably, you know, the head coach and the father is the assistant coach. Well, that wasn't with me in my case. And in my case, I'm speaking on me because he given me this to give to you to make a point on restoration. So in my case, my father was my everything. When something went wrong with me or went down with me, it was my father. And I'm talking about my natural father, my birth father, the father that gave me, you know, that was my earthly father. And when this went down, this happened to be the best experience of love in my life. So if you can imagine not your mother but your father being the best expression of love you have ever witnessed in your life, nothing ever compared to the love of my father for the remainder of my life. And the reason why I'm speaking on it is because I lost that at a young girl when my father and mother separated, and eventually my father passed away while I was a young woman. And I'm saying this to say how that thing of restoration fell upon me, because the restoration was God just showed me that he had a restoration. Because, see, I was supposed to talk about how the locusts, whatever the locusts ate in Joel 2 and 18, whatever the locusts ate, that God was going to replace for Israel, that he was going to change everything that they had lost, whatever they had lost, he was going to replace it, not just replace it, but with something better. And see, what happened was God did the same thing in me when he allowed my father to pass on the glory. But see, he replaced my father with spiritual men of God. And see, that's where I had an opportunity to have a man of God cover me and become my spiritual father after my father passed away. Now, this is once I was saved, but what I'm saying to everyone is these spiritual fathers show up just when we're supposed to have them show up. And that's where I was able to get back some of what I missed in my physical father, in my natural father. I had a spiritual man of God stand up and really, really take on a spiritual father position in my life. And this was a man of God that did everything to pour into me that God needed me to have on earth through a physical person. And this person was interceding for me and mentoring and just helping mature me in Christ. Well, this man passed away, and until then, that was back in 2015, until then, I had no true spiritual father on earth until ADM allowed me to come to know Apostle Temple Spencer. So
hallelujah.
At this point, when this man of God stepped in and showed up, he adopted me, and now I'm back with a spiritual father. And that's what
yes.
I'm saying to you guys. You will receive a spiritual father here on earth, but what happens is this spiritual father was able to help me stay connected. Not only was I already connected, but they increased the level of connection with our Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father and I have such a beautiful relationship because, to me, he restored everything that I lost, that the locusts ate up in my natural father, who was an awesome, awesome father. He was the father that you would want to call on even though mama was near. I want my daddy. And so on
yes.
today, when we have these spiritual fathers in our church stand up and they become the head and they become the neck and they allow us to know that Christ is the head and they're the neck, they allow the Holy Spirit to flow through them into us as individual parts of the body. And here I am, this little girl at heart, well into my 40s, y'all, still looking at God as a little girl. And then I recognized that he gave me men of God here on today in the form of my apostle, Temple Spencer. And what I'm saying to you is you have a father. You have spiritual fathers here on earth that will stand in the gap for you, that will intercede for you and be that spiritual father for you. But know that the ultimate father, that daddy that we all need, is in God, God the Father. And it is not by accident that God the Father is referred to as a father, because that is so important in our spiritual growth, in our spiritual relationships. I know some of you all still have y'all fathers, and yesterday y'all was able to honor y'all fathers on Father's Day. But guess what? Some of us didn't have fathers yesterday to actually reach out to and be able to be in the presence of. But guess what? I still had a father in Apostle Temple Spencer. I had a father back 2015 before he passed on when I early on in my Christian walk. And I still have a father today, but this father that I have today, he's in spirit and in truth. He is the father that we all can claim as our father, because we are brothers and sisters on today, y'all, because we took the call, we answered the call to walk with Christ, and that we would be able to be in the presence of our Father. So that song that Apostle Temple played by chance, I don't think it was by chance or circumstance. it was the Holy Spirit preparing me for this word on this morning, that you guys would be able to hear an example of restoration. Because, see, what I lost in the physical, Father, that was the everything to me that gave me the true meaning of love and showed me what it was like to be loved unconditionally. He showed that to me and that man. And when he passed away, he gave me a spiritual father in a church. And when that man passed away, here come Pastor Temple stepping up, and that position has been completely filled on a spiritual level on earth. But when I tell you the ability to have a father that loves you unconditionally, that will go to bat for you, that he will do the things that you need done in your life, the spiritual father, your heavenly father, he is not a joke. And I'm telling you to open your minds and hearts up, whether you have a physical father that's still living today, whether you have a spiritual father that has come into your life and allowed you to grow and has been pouring into you and trying to teach you the things of God, whether you have that or not, you can never discount the fact that the beauty of having a heavenly father with all your needs, whether it's financial or physical, whether it's spiritual, you have a father that it will not stop. That he will never let you down. He will never leave or forsake you. He will protect you from the enemy. He will be that. He will be the one that provides your every need. A true father that will never let you down. And that's where restoration came in for me. So let me go back to where I was supposed to go before that spirit rested on me when it told me to go ahead and share that experience of a fatherhood to you. Because in Joel 2, and 18, it speaks of the promises of restoration that God had for Israel. This is something that we have to understand. When we are in our covering, we are going to reap the promises. We are going to actually be obedient to God and the promises, the covenant that he gave us. He's talking about it. He's talking about how important it is for us to repent and turn. But when we are in alignment, when we're obedient, the Lord's promises of restoration comes in. And it says in Joel 2 and 18, then the Lord will pity his people and jealousy guard the honor of his land. And the Lord replies, look, I am sending you again. I mean, I'm sending you grain and new oil, a new wine and oil through this enough to satisfy your needs. You will no longer be object to mockery among the surrounding nations. I will drive away these armies from the north. I will send them into the parched wasteland. Those in front will be driven into the Dead Sea, and those at the rear into the Mediterranean, and stretch out their rotting bodies, and the stench of their rotting bodies will rise over the land. Surely the Lord has done great things. Don't be afraid, O land. Be glad now. Rejoice. The Lord has done great things. Don't be afraid, you animals of the field, for the wilderness pastures will soon be green. The trees will again be filled with fruit. Fig trees and grapevines will be loaded down once more. Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in your Lord. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for the rain sends demonstrate his faithfulness. Once more, the autumn rains will come, and as well as the rains of spring. Threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with wine and olive oil. The Lord says, I will give you back what the loss of the swarm locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the cutting locust have eaten. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you. Once again, you will have all the food you want. You will praise the Lord your God, who does these miracles for you. Never again will my people be disgraced. Then you will know that I am among my people, Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be disgraced. Now, this is God's promise. This is one of the things that he promised because of the covenant he made with us. Whether you were a Jew or a Gentile, you are actually under the covenant. And when you have that covering of your spiritual father, you are able to pull up into the promises. You're able to manifest and have heaven on earth. And that's what kingdom living is about. And we have to be mindful that there is some things that we need from a spiritual father on earth. There are some things that are connecting us to God. And I'm not saying that you got to go through man to get to God. But see, he makes it easier. He has a plan. He has a structure there. And that structure was to put a neck on the body so that the body would be able to have that flow from the head, which is Christ. So when Apostle Temple pours into us, it goes through all different directions. And we're talking about a man who may not be as old as I am, but I still call him my spiritual father on today. Who is your spiritual father of today? Country or some other state, and you don't have access to temple right now, you still have access to your heavenly father. Allow him to bring that spiritual father into play. Allow him to bring those people in God's order to come and pour into you so that God pours into them and they will give you those spiritual truths. He'll give you everything you need to fight this battle. This journey is not going to be easy. But see, the promises of the covenant is there. And those spiritual things of God that needs to be happening is going to happen because God's sending people. He's sending people for you. Just recognize who your spiritual father is and then allow him to be there for you. You can be adopted by a spiritual father. God didn't just give me one. He gave me one that passed on to glory, but he gave me another one. And if anything, just know that he is doing it because he wants to pour into you through somebody that can really have access to you physically until you get that spiritual relationship on point. So on today, this is where God took me to tell everyone, recognize that there is restoration. Your restoration might not be what mine was, but know that God promises restoration in all things. Just be obedient. Abide in him. Sister, I'm going to get off now because I've said what I need to say. May God bless you all with this word.
My God, my God, my God. I just want to add to Monica, I can't take away anything from her story, but I can tell you this. This is a very emotional day for me and Monica. Just hearing her, this is not something that we talked about, but I can't tell you in 2009, God prophesied this very moment. God prophesied this very moment to us. He let us know that he would have somebody that was going to take us through because our hearts was hardened. We couldn't understand some things, but when God put a person in your life that's not going to judge you, when God put a person in your life that's going to live as close as Christ-like, and you see it, it's not what you hear, it's what you see. The examples are placed for. You have to rejoice. You have to understand, like Monica say, it's a restoration. It's a restoration. He puts people in your life to put you on the right path. And even though Saul was who he was, God used Saul to put people back into their right path. And that's what we have gotten. We have been adopted as well. And that means everything to us. It means everything when you're the outcast. When you're the person that, how Paul was, people didn't want to be bothered. People say this and people say that. But then you got your spiritual father that's sitting and praying and interceding for you. And when the naysayers come or whatever, he's going to sit and be like, well, that's not what I see. I see what God already, he sees a vision. He saw the vision. But what he may have not known is, and I'm telling it now to the world, 2009, God prophesied this to me and my sister. And it's very emotional for us because it's something, you know, people sit and a lot of people sit and tell you that today you're going to get a new car, you're going to get this, or you're going to get that. But when you can physically see, when God say he's going to see you, God told me a couple. He said a couple. And if you want to see it, we journal. We've been journaling. It's in journals. It's in journals. You know, I was seeing someone that's going to, and the sisters are younger than me. They are younger than me, but you know what? word of God say to love me is to obey me. That means that you're supposed to be in obedience. That means that you're supposed to sit and be able to be chastised and corrected, and when things not right, you're able to tell it. You're able to receive. You have to receive in order to receive your restoration. And I pray today that you all have not been confused about what has taken place, but a restoration has been given to us in the spiritual realm. We're not looking for the materialistic things right now, because that's going to come, because we are under a covering that's going to put us, keep us in line to receive what God has for us. Everything that was taken away from us years ago, he's going to put back into place the things that he knows that we deserve, the things that we need. I'm not talking about things that we got when we was in our old way and in our sin. I'm talking about things now where he's placed us in a new covering. I'm talking about the promises that he has promised us based on the covenant that he promised us. He's going to give it because we are striving to make a difference in our life. We are being respectful to our spiritual father. We are listening and knowing that he is hearing from our Father, which art in heaven. He's not just hearing, he's doing. People sit and say, sit and tell you things, but ask yourself, sit back and look, is he a doer? Is she a doer? What is she doing? Or is she sitting and just talking and not doing nothing about it? So I sit and say today, pray and ask God. Let God come in. And if you over there across the waters, across the seas, you always have a connection with Apostle Temple Spencer. If you do not have a covering, if you do not have a leader, if you do not have that nick to have you stand still, stand strong, and stand unmovable into God, abiding in God, allowing him, you to stay in his presence. We offer that to you. ADM offers that to you. You're not going to sit and hear my apostle or his first lady brag about anything. But I want to tell you, behind the scenes, it's not many that can walk and they walk. Not many that can talk, they talk. And it's not many that's going to do what they do. So I sit and say to you, you have access in the morning. You have access in the evening. He's here. He's available. Why is he available? Because the Holy Spirit, he answered the calling. He answered the calling so he can be our coverage. So come on with us tonight, not just tonight, but evermore, but evermore. And if you ever in the United States of America in Atlanta, Georgia, make sure you come and you worship with us, because it's something that you will never, ever, never, ever experience, and that's because it's a true worship with God. It's not phony. It's not faith the Lord, and that's what he's going to speak. I've seen him on the pulpit bringing one message, and God has just sit and twist and turned him to say something else. Pour it out to the point of just total being exhausted, but it didn't matter. He gets right back up and continues to do what God. So Apostle Temple, me and my sister Monica say unto you today, we thank you and First Lady Lakeisha for being who you are in God. We thank you for being our covering. We thank you for adopting us. We thank you for trusting us. We thank you for believing in us. And we thank you for allowing God to restore us for the restoration. I say that, Father, we just thank you right now, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for your movement, Father God. Not our movement, Lord Jesus, but your Holy Spirit movement. We just thank you right now, Lord Jesus, as we come to a closure of today's word, Father God. We pray, Father God, that people received it, people understood it, Father God, and they realize how important it is to have a true man of God to be their covering, Lord Jesus. And we ask you, Father God, to send those that have answered the call, Father God. Send them our way, Father God, so they can be nurtured, Father God, so they can receive your nourishing, Father God, and be enlightened by the truth, because you are spirit and truth, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Don't forget to come back out with us tonight. And that number is 385-799-9620. We love you, but we realize that God loves you best. I sit and say, let go and let God, because he will lead you down your road of Damascus. He will blind you and then restore your sight, and your sight will not be the sight that you left in your old man. Your sight, you will be able to see in the spiritual, and you will sit and you will work hard and harder and hardest to get to where God wants you to be, and that's in the kingdom. And you will not sit and let anybody deter you from your past. So I sit and say, welcome God, because he's able. Welcome the people that God has placed in your life, because God is able to do things exceedingly and abundantly. We love you. Have a great day.
And dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up the stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I